Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Artist Chris Bathgate wants people to look at everyday objects with a sense of wonder. He believes we often take for granted the iterations of design and the thought process required in the manufacturing of a simple power tool, electronics device, or even a pocket knife. Bathgate has become well known for his precise, elegant, industrial feel sculptures that suggest they have a function, but they don't. He asserts they're for viewing and pondering only. He is self-taught. He won a Baker Artist Award in 2014. His latest work is on exhibit at the Baltimore Museum of Industry. Bathgate uses precision machining to create his art, which ranges from pocket-sized pieces that sold out recently in online orders before he had actually made them, to sci-fi galactic-looking sculptures that weigh hundreds of pounds because of the materials he uses. Chris Bathgate will lead a tour of his exhibit on Sunday at the BMI. He's with me in the studio to give us a preview. Welcome to On the Record.
Thanks for having me.
How do you describe your work?
I guess I would describe my works as engineered assemblages that are intended to highlight the aesthetic qualities of the tools and technologies that are used to make them.
So, I mean, you use machining.
Mm-hmm.
What is machining for those of us who don't encounter it daily?
Yeah, sure. The term machining sort of encompasses a range of industrial processes, but the simplest way to describe it is that it's a collection of industrial processes that are used to precisely remove material from a metal stock or a wood stock, whatever material you would choose, in a very precise way. And so the three main processes that are encompassed in that term would be turning, which would be like a metal lathe you would use to create cylindrical shapes using a cutting tool that passes over a rotating piece of material. Milling, which is where a cutter is fed into the material and moved in, depending on the complexity of the machine, in a multitude of axes to create specific geometry, and then drilling machines, which were specifically used to precisely drill and place holes in material. So machining sort of encompasses those three main processes, but it can be any hybrid or combination of those things, depending on the equipment that's being used.
And you actually make the machines that turn and scrape and form the objects that turn out to be your sculptures?
Yeah, so over the years I taught myself how to do manual machining when I was first getting started. So those I just bought what would be termed lower cost import equipment, and I just learned on that machine. But over time I became interested in automation and how manufacturing influences the design of objects and things of that nature. And so I slowly taught myself how to take these pieces of equipment apart and refit them with motors and computers and sensors and build my own automated equipment. And I sort of folded those experiences back into my designs and into my work and tried to explore concepts around that idea.
So going back to the simple versions before you were adapting machinery to your specific purpose, when you were learning to use it, were you already focusing on creating art, or did you learn to use it the way I guess most young men do, which is, I'm going to build something with this, or I'm going to get a job doing this?
So my focus has always been on sculpture. So I started out doing a lot of welded works or hand-formed sculptures using just a welding torch and some grinders and just very simple tools, simple hand tools. But I very quickly became interested in creating intricate geometry, and I started looking around to see what tools were available to me. And I always kind of thought of different processes as colors in my palette. So I was always interested in bringing in new tools and processes and layering them onto what I was already doing. So when I was growing up, I had no idea machine work was even a thing. But when I started doing my research as far as my interest in sculpture, and I found these tools, I fell in love instantly because I realized that it doesn't just... it's not a process that just encompasses art. It's a process that encompasses all range of disciplines. It encompasses the material sciences and chemistry and mathematics and things like that. So it was like this endlessly fascinating and complex way of shaping material. And as an artist, that was very fascinating to me.
Well, tell me more about the philosophy behind that. I mean, because when I look at your works, I bring a lot of sense of function. It looks to me like a second cousin to some tool that I might use or that I could see would have. I mean, it's a play on stuff that does stuff in the world, but you bring a different philosophy to it, I think.
So my take on it has always been that, you know, I've always been interested in how things are made. I went to an arts high school, so when I was learning, you know, painting or my early days of learning sculpture, when I looked at other works of art, I was always more interested in how they were made, how they were produced, and how they went together. My early attempts at sculpture were poorly constructed. They fell apart and things like that. So I always thought
I guess that is a measurement of bad art if it falls apart.
Well, I guess it's just the growing pains of learning anything, but, I thought that the biggest impediment to me being a successful artist were these technical skills. My feeling was always that knowledge of how to build things, how to fabricate things was a greater source of inspiration than just conceptual ideals and things like that. So I sort of took this very literal approach to process, where I saw that as the main catalyst for my artistic ideas. So I just pursued it in this very methodical way of layering on processes, and that sort of led to a lot of complexity quickly when I started adding more and more machine tools and machinery and ways that I could shape metal, and that quickly learned and turned into using those tools to build other tools to make art, and so it became this process of building tools that's their only purpose was to make one part of a sculpture, and then that would take them apart and that wouldn't exist anymore. So it became this ephemeral process. Yeah,
the tool is ephemeral.
Some parts of the tool, yes.
Do you expect people who are experiencing your art to make those connections in the back of their head to, oh, this looks practical, this is something, I saw something like this, I remember, that does something? I mean, do you expect people to experience it just as art, or are they bringing sort of real-world connections to it?
So one of the themes that I sort of play on is this, we're sort of surrounded by engineered and designed objects. And I think over a lifetime, we've sort of become conditioned to expect that the functional objects around us will sort of cue us into what they do or what they're used for. And so, I've sort of found, as I've explored my process, that, my way of working lends itself to some of these same design cues. And if you take those cues and embed them in the work, people in a very similar way that they think they can interpret how a coffee maker works or how an elevator works, feel that there's some functionality to the objects. But then I sort of strip away all of that and just leave it sort of undefined, and it becomes this irresolvable object for people. And I think that's what captivates some people about the work, is that it seems familiar but unfamiliar at the same time.
That's sculptor Chris Bathgate here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about his work on exhibit at the Baltimore Museum of Industry. What goes into creating a piece? Take us through the process step by step.
Sure. As I'm working on any given sculpture or any given piece, I'm sort of like watching, my process and watching what I'm doing to see if it sort of sparks any other concepts or ideas. And so I talk about it in terms of, I sort of am collecting ideas, and that's how I kind of get the genesis for a concept. And when I'm designing, I've just sort of collected these. It'll either be like an engineering concept, like a way something fits together, a way something could latch or fasten, and that will lead to ideas about how that could be expressed in form, or just might be some aesthetic concept that kind of falls out of what I'm doing. And I just sort of collect these and start smashing them together until I get a rough idea of a piece I would like to make. And from there, there's a very long iterative drafting process where I'm just sort of trying to take this sort of ambiguous idea of what I want to do and actually making it into something that can be engineered or can be fabricated.
And when you say drafting, you're talking about literally making drawings, engineering drawings.
I'll do like dozens to hundreds of CAD drawings before I'll settle on a design. And the reason for that is it's very easy to imagine something that's impossible to make. And so you're sort of trying to reconcile this concept with the real world, the real constraints of what it is that I do for a living. And I sort of like that push and pull of trying to reconcile this very lofty conceptual idea with this very strict discipline that demands that the geometry all be, that you be able to define all of the geometry mathematically and be able to put that into a CAD program and then take those designs and break them down into instructions for a machine to actually make them. So
CAD, computer-assisted design.
Yes.
And your exhibit at the BMI is not just the objects, it's some of the drawings too.
Yes.
Why put them in the exhibit?
I wanted to include the drawings because I thought it was important to sort of highlight the underlying structures of all the pieces. All of the works are these sort of very complex assemblages that fit together with lots of hidden fasteners and screws, and they all have very interesting underlying mechanical features that aren't apparent in the finished work because the works don't move. They don't do anything. They're just a static object, yet they have all of these things in common with machines and the tools that I use to make them. And I thought it was important to highlight that underlying structure because it is very influential as far as how it manifests in the final design.
To some people, your work could come across as craft as well as, or maybe instead of fine art. Is that a meaningful distinction?
It's not a meaningful distinction for me, but I've certainly encountered it a lot over my lifetime. I know that some people would distinguish creative arts from the craft arts, and I think that, you know, in particular, what I do for a living or what I do with my work sort of highlights for me how meaningless a distinction that is, because there is sort of this very craft-centric component to my work, but I'm sort of bringing a lot of creative ideas to that, and I think that some of the best creative artists are actually masters of their craft, and some of the best craftsmen are some of the most creative people I've ever met. So I think it's sort of a strange distinction. But yeah, I think it's sort of a romantic distinction, really, is what I would say what it is.
You said a minute ago, it's possible to imagine something that's impossible to build. Mm-hmm. Where does your inspiration come from?
I guess my inspiration comes from a lot of places. I think that, so machine work is one of those rare processes that sort of touches a lot of different fields of knowledge. When you're trying to tell a machine the rate at which it needs to feed a cutter of a specific shape and hardness through another material of a different shape and hardness, there's a lot of material science in there. There's a lot of geometry and math, and there's ideas around thermodynamics and so there's all these other sort of tangential fields of knowledge that you get to sort of dabble in when you're working. So I'm sort of inspired by all of that. I'm inspired by obviously the act of building the tools and trying to solve this very protracted process of tricking a series of events to produce a shape or an outcome, and so it has become this very sort of cyclical iterative process of like this iterative evolution of design and trying to impose my own aesthetic onto this very constrained craft. And so I'm sort of just wrestling with a lot of conflicting interest when I work.
How did your work end up at the BMI? I mean, it's an unusual exhibit for them, but it seems like kind of a perfect fit.
I used to drive by the BMI a lot. I was showing at another gallery that was in the area, and I always thought that museum seemed like a very interesting context for my work. And so I approached, I think I just wrote them an email, and they got right back to me and said, you know, we were actually just talking about you, and you should come down. So I went down, and things clicked pretty quickly, and we had a show going. But I think the BMI is an interesting context for my work because, you know, industrial history and art history have a lot of overlapping parts, and I think it's a really great context for this specific kind of work.
You said early in this conversation that when you were starting as an artist, you thought the biggest impediment would be acquiring technical skills, mm-hmm. which gave me the impression that you see a different challenge now. What's your biggest challenge as an artist now?
I mean, there's always the risk that, you know, your work will become stale, but I don't even think it's that. I'm actually in this great space where things are, I still see a whole lot of room to grow and explore and do other things. So I'm not even sure. I think time is the biggest impediment now. It's just having time to explore all the tangents that are like popping up. And you know, I've been sort of partnering with other creatives who are doing aesthetic work in the world of machining, because I feel like there are other people who are doing things that maybe aren't considered fine art, but are sort of aesthetically interesting in their own right. And I've been sort of partnering with other makers to do projects that maybe I otherwise wouldn't have time for, and sort of collaborate with them. And so I'm just trying to find ways to explore all the other ideas that I have kind of building up.
There's a lot going on. Thank you for talking to us about it.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me.
The exhibit called Reinvention, The Work of Chris Bathgate, is up at the Baltimore Museum of Industry through next March 11th. Bathgate will lead a tour of his industrial feel metalwork sculptures on Sunday from 12:30 to 2 p.m. We have a link to it and to Bathgate's website at the On the Record page at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Time for a quick break and then a Stoop Story.